The Lord's Supper, if you are a member of our church or of a church within our fellowship, we ask you to prepare your mind and heart to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you're not a member of our church, we ask that you refrain from taking it. And if you have any questions about that, you can see there's a little paragraph on the inside part of the front bulletin. And please speak to one of us afterwards. We'd love to talk to you about how you can commune with us in the future. So we have all the means of grace going on today, especially the Word of God. And that's where we're going to focus on today. Today we're going to focus on not just the Holy Spirit coming, but the fact that He works through the Word of Christ. You'll see that reflected throughout the service. We'll begin our worship service this morning with hymn 532 in the red song books in front of you. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord with freedom and confidence. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God is good. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us were born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a spirit, our sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. You can follow along on page 12 in your hymnals. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. In obedience to the command of our Lord and in trusting in his promise, you have brought these children to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants a new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Now, by the power of the word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ is yours. Now, in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation. That you may give public testimony of your faith, I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that this triune God has planned out and carried out your salvation? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins and holy baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Receive the sign of the cross on the head and on the heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. It's good to do that five times. Weston Sigmund, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sailor Sigmund, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tim Arnold, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Justin Malone. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Zoe Malone, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. I ask the congregation to please stand. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and sponsors, to assist in whatever manner possible so that these five may remain children of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on these five and grant them a rich measure of your Spirit, that they may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may return to your seats. Yep. The congregation may be seated. I need some bigger towels. We continue with the Word of God. We look at three scripture lessons today, as always. And the first lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord. And I'll hear a song by the choir. The second lesson for this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, where we see what happened on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But we also see what happens when we proclaim in a very special name. From Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord. A choir will sing the verse of the day. Stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson always serves as the focus of our worship service, and we see that today as Jesus not only promises the Holy Spirit, but promises that he will remind the disciples of something very special. From John 14, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith together publicly in what the Holy Spirit does and through whom he does it, according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Grace and peace to you and the Holy Spirit too from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, which you just heard read, so I won't reread it again at this time. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your Spirit. Amen. It's a dry heat. You ever heard that phrase? Yeah? Have you used that phrase in the last week? You hear that phrase a lot? It's a dry heat. Heather and I, when we lived in Arizona, heard that a lot. It'd be like 115 degrees, and people would be like, oh, it's a dry heat. Well, yeah, it's the desert. Deserts are dry and they're hot, right? Kind of hard for things to live when things are that dry. That's why there's a verb from that, deserted. You want to get out of there, right? Living things don't do so well. And that's why the hottest and driest place in all of North America, according to Google, is called Death Valley. It's hard for life to thrive when things are that dry. So when are you dry? It's hard for life to thrive when things are dry, so when do you feel all dried out? Maybe is your life a little monotonous, you feel? You keep doing the same things day after day, and it's kind of hard to get fulfilled by them. Kind of feel like there's no meaning or purpose in life. Life can seem a little dry. Are your relationships all dried out? For example, does your digital self on social media have better relationships than your actual self? Does your marriage feel all life or dry and lifeless? Do you feel spiritually dry? That can happen to us a lot of times. We have these fights that we have against our sin, and we battle, but we lose battle after battle after battle. And eventually we feel like the strength in our life is sapped right from us. Like you can feel it in your bones. Sometimes you feel so disconnected from God, from others, from meaning in life, that you just feel deserted, abandoned, as if God has cut you off. That's why we're going to take a trip this morning with the prophet Ezekiel. God is going to show us through Ezekiel and take us to a place that you could call a death valley of sorts. It was a place that was very dry, as you'll see. And as we are there in that valley, I want you to imagine that you're right there with Ezekiel. You're seeing what Ezekiel sees. You're hearing what Ezekiel hears. And as you do, you're going to see that Ezekiel's ministry certainly did change. His ministry changed because he prophesied on both sides of the fall of Jerusalem. Before the fall of Jerusalem, he was prophesying to an apathetic people, people who didn't care about God. And they needed to hear that God's judgment was coming. Then God's judgment came in the fall of Jerusalem. After that, now Ezekiel was in exile in Babylon with the people, prophesying to a spiritually dry, lifeless nation. They felt like God had, in judgment, cut them off completely to forget them forever. They obviously didn't know God all that well. So God sends them a message through Ezekiel by way of a vision. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." It's kind of a scary and depressing picture if you think about it. Imagine that you're standing in a valley, and all that you can see, as far as you can see, is just full of bones. But that wasn't even the most depressing part. As Ezekiel looked closely at these bones, he noticed that they were all very dry, far removed from life. Which makes what God says next all the more ridiculous. Ezekiel says, "The Lord asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" What more can Ezekiel say than, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know"? Can these bones live? The easy answer? No. Dry dead bones are dry dead bones. You know, a lot of people these days like zombie movies and undead types of movies and shows, right? But we all know they're just movies and shows. Dead is dead. Dried dead bones are just dried dead bones. not the greatest doctors in all the world, with all the greatest equipment in all the world, with all the funding in all the world, could make dry, dead bones live. Which makes what God says next even more ridiculous. Ezekiel says, "Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now remember, they're just dry bones. They don't have ears. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." If you're Ezekiel and God tells you to prophesy those words to a bunch of dry, dead bones, would you do it? Would you do it? Not getting a lot of reactions to that. If you wouldn't, I don't blame you. It's a pretty ridiculous concept, right? But if you would, ask yourself why. If you were in a valley full of dry, dead bones and God told you to speak the word of the Lord to those bones, would you do it? And you would, why? Hold on to that reason in the back of your mind if you would. Does Ezekiel prophesy? You bet he does. He says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound." Imagine now you're in full that valley and all of these bones start shaking and rattling. "And bones came together, bone to bone." So now you notice that there's not just a bunch of random scattered bones. Now that's sets of skeletons on the valley floor. "I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them." What would that look like? That'd be a weird dream if you had that. What would it be like to see tendons forming, connecting these bones, flesh filling it all in, skin covering it all up? I think if you had that in a dream, you'd wake up in the morning and go, "Wow, that was a crazy dream." You'd tell people about it, right? Like, you should have seen this dream I had last night. Listen to all these things that happened. Tendons and flesh and all this came onto bones. And yet, even though it had those things, there was still no life. There was still something very important missing. Ezekiel points out, "But there was no breath in them." They didn't have life yet because they didn't have breath. "Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Why make a big deal out of the breath? It's like there's a big pause before the breath comes. Like, all right, there's tendons and there's flesh and there's skin. Now wait for it. Ah! And now the breath. Well, maybe you noticed the language here is pretty similar to Genesis chapter 2, where God breathed into Adam and made him a living being. God gave him physical life, but not just that. There was something far more important that he gave to Adam, and that's what he's stressing here in this vision with one word. The same word in Hebrew can mean breath, wind, and spirit. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will put breath in you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Prophesy to the breath. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe." Breath entered them. They came to life. There's a poetic play on words going on here. And it's all stacking up to give this beautiful picture of what true life really is and who gives it. "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. and I have done it, declares the Lord. The Lord would resettle his nation once again back in their land. They'd be a living, breathing nation again. But more than that, they'd be spiritually alive. A dry, lifeless people come to life when God puts his breathwind spirit in them. Are you starting to see the picture that he's giving in this vision? You know, you and I can often forget who God is, who we are, and what he gives. You and I can often feel like we're dry and cut off, and like we have no life, that God couldn't possibly bring anything back to life, especially in us. But look at what God does when he brings his breath, wind, spirit. Nothing can stand up to that power. And do you notice how he brings that breath, wind, spirit? He does it the same way with you that he did in the vision. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God sure likes to emphasize the power of his word in Scripture. That's because through the word, the Holy Spirit breathes life into you. You are not dry. The Holy Spirit is in you like a bubbling brook. He's coursing through you. And it all comes from the power of the Word. And you know that. You know that because when I asked earlier why you would speak the Word of the Lord to a bunch of dry, dead bones, I got some of these. You know that. You know why. Why would you? Because you know and you've experienced the power of God's Word and of His Spirit. Look at us. We were spiritually dead in sin. Dry as dry bones could possibly be. And look at what the word of the Lord did for us. Not just in this life, but eternally. Sometimes we can forget who God is. He is the sovereign Lord, the God who has power over everything. And yet we get in the face of death and we feel like, well, death has all this power over us. We can't come back to life. We can't stop death. We feel like something coming back to life is ridiculous, especially dry, dead bones. But death has no power over the sovereign Lord. Jesus proves that. Lifeless, he lay in that tomb. Dry as can be, our sins sapped the life out of him as he hung there on the cross. And yet, even though all of that happened, death had no power over him. He raised himself back to life. And the Holy Spirit now raises us back to life through that word of what he reminds in that word. So that means that whatever you have in your life, whether it's dry and lifeless that you feel, that power is no match for the power of the sovereign Lord. Your relationships, your friendships, your marriages, whatever it is, can be revived. It can be made whole again and living and thriving again when the forgiveness and love of Christ are there. If you feel like you have no meaning in life, like things are monotonous, then take a look at your life from God's angle. When God looks at you, he doesn't just see dry, dead bones. No, he sees his people. That's what he means, or that's what you mean to him. And that means that he'll never cut you off. The sovereign Lord had said that you will always have his spirit because he's breathed him into you. And there's a promise that comes with that. The same promise that he gave Jesus, or that Jesus gave the disciples in the gospel lesson. It's the same promise that we see fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit reminds us of the words of Christ. And how ridiculous that life-giving power is. But the most ridiculous part of that, and maybe you didn't catch this, the most utterly ridiculous part of this whole sermon text, through whom did all of this happen? For Israel's sake, God did this through Ezekiel. He calls Ezekiel son of man over and over and over again to humble him, so show you how humble you need to be in front of the sovereign Lord. And yet God made him his mouthpiece, his prophesier, his breath bringer. Now God makes you that prophesier, that breath bringer. The Holy Spirit not only fills you up, but now it overflows into others. You can help the Holy Spirit breathe life into others. The Holy Spirit's still doing it. 2,600 years after this vision, 2,000 years after that first day of Pentecost, He's still breathing life. The baptisms, the new member Sunday, it's all proof of that. The Holy Spirit's still working. So does your life have meaning? You bet it does. Your life bone dry? Now the Holy Spirit's filling you up. You cut off? Never, says the Sovereign Lord. Your life has hope thanks to Jesus, thanks to the Holy Spirit working that in your hearts. Your life isn't bone dry, it's Spirit-filled. Amen, brothers and sisters. Please stand. May the Holy Spirit fill you up now and always and revive everything that it needs to revive in your life. Amen. We'll join together in a song as we pray to God for the Holy Spirit on this very fitting day. On page 9. Be seated for the offering. This time I'd like to welcome all of the new members to come forward for the reception into membership. Yep, facing me, yep. Filling all in here, line on up. Dear members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, these brothers and sisters, having been baptized and instructed in the teachings of the Word of God, desire to become members of this congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ promises to confess before his Father in heaven those who faithfully confess him on earth. You have come here before this Christian congregation to declare your faith and to unite with us in Christian love and fellowship. Therefore, lift up your hearts to God, who is the God of all grace, and joyfully answer these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from Luther's small catechism as reflected in the Bible information class, is faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in the true Christian faith, be diligent in the use of God's word and sacraments, and lead a godly life even to death? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Will you support with your prayers, time, talents, and offerings the work of our Lord that he's given to this congregation? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. Having heard your promises, we, the members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, receive you in fellowship and love and invite you to share in our worship and mission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith, in mercy you joined these brothers and sisters in Christ to your church when they were born again of water and the Spirit. In mercy you taught them your saving truth. Grant that they may offer themselves as living sacrifices to you as their spiritual act of worship. Transform them by the renewing of their minds so that they will not conform to the pattern of this world. Help us live in love and harmony with one another and work together in serving you. Keep us united in your Spirit, and bring us at last to your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may go in peace and return to your seats. We'll continue with the prayer of the church, and as part of the prayer of the church, we'll keep on our minds and on our hearts those suffering from health challenges this week, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Leon Raglan, Margaret, Steve Ennis's mother, Ed and Bev Heinitz, Andrea Lucklean, and Kyler Ross. We'll also include a prayer for all of those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays this week. We'll include a prayer also for those who, for the families who have lost a loved one this week, including the family of Norm Lervold, John Lervold's father, and Russ Smith, Keith Smith's brother. We'll also include a special prayer of protection for our neighborhoods as well. We pray together the prayer of the church with one mind and heart, and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray, Holy Spirit, fill us up. Remind us of the word of Christ so that we can live for you and share that word with others. Sovereign Lord, be the refuge of all who are suffering from health challenges this week. Give them all the hope given in your Son, Jesus, which proves how much you care for every one of us. Holy Spirit, be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense meaning to each new day. Lord, thank you for the years of love you have given to those celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them reflect the unity you have with your church as they cherish the unity they have in their marriage. Comfort all who remember loved ones this week. Give them the solid assurance of eternal life and the life that we'll have in your presence forever. Bless them with good days and shine your love even brighter on difficult days. Please also protect our neighborhoods with your almighty power. Help us live in peace and safety so that we can enjoy your blessings to the fullest and share those blessings all the more with those who live around us. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand in honor of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day kept his promise and poured out the Holy Spirit to empower his church to proclaim the gospel in the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
take and drink. This is the true body of our Lord and
please stand.
Thank you.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, May the Peace of God, which you'll find on hymn 745 in the Blue Songbooks. Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you this morning as we got to witness what the Holy Spirit can do. God is so good. That was quite the service. God gives us great things. A big welcome to all of our visitors today. If you have any questions about anything, you let us know. Also, there's going to be a welcome center, which is going to be a kind of a curved table outside here in the lobby. Check it out. Everything on there is yours, and there's also a gift there for you. So check that out, all of our visitors over there. We had a special presentation on the Not Without Purpose debt reduction effort during Bible study hour. If you weren't able to make that, there are going to be some envelopes in the back there. So check that out. See, find your name, and there's going to be some information there for you. The Bible information class, the next one, is going to start up in June 3rd. And we're actually going to be doing it on Sunday mornings during the summer. So it'll be at 9:30 during Bible study hour. So if you know of anybody that's interested, they can come for study, they can come for worship all in the same time. So the sign-up for that is by the other sign-ups with all the other stuff we have going on back there, the Bible information class. The Mornings with Mommy sign-up is going to be online. And if you know of anybody who wants to participate or join in that, make sure you have them sign up quickly because things are filling up. God be praised for that. Registration is also open. We got so much things going on. It's awesome. Registration is also open for sports camps coming up this summer. Check that out on the school website. St. Mark's merchandise is also for sale. We've got t-shirts and grocery bags and license plate frame covers. And all of that's in the library. Check it out. If you have any questions, let us know. We also extended a call to for our kindergarten teacher this last week, and we extended the call to Rachel Tassas from St. Matthew in Spokane, Washington. We received a letter from her that she has received our call. This is what it says. Dear members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, the Holy Spirit has led your congregation to call me to be the kindergarten teacher at St. Mark's. I am truly humbled and to have received the call. I now have an opportunity to evaluate where I can best serve God and His people. Please continue to pray as I deliberate this call and reflect on the gifts and talents God has given me. In His service, Rachel Tassas. So keep her in your prayers as she deliberates where she can best serve in God's kingdom. Also, all of our new members, I think I announced that one already with the envelopes. Now they're drawing the attention back to it, though. So if you need an envelope, make sure to check that out for the Not Without Purpose. But now that I've got your attention even more, good. All of our new members, we're going to welcome them in a reception, a cake reception in the gym. It's out in the Rose Garden. The weather's good enough, we're going to go in the Rose Garden. Good. So check it out in the Rose Garden. Come meet the new members. They've got the name tags on them, except for Samuel Arms. Sorry, we can't find yours. I know we printed it off. But Sam's, we're blessing our church family and get to know them out there. May God bless you this week as He fills you up with His Spirit. You can stick around to greet one another as long as you'd like. God bless your week.